We continue on the Tuesday edition of Bickley and Murata Mornings live from the Ok Chin Community Studios. Always a treat when we're joined by our next guest, and it's happening right now. ESPN, the great Mike Wilbon.
The great Mike Wilbon.
On the Arizona Sports Line. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Morning. I'm you know, it's still in recovery after last night's drama with Denver and the Lakers.
Yeah.
And just, you know, consuming all the playoffs without the Suns now.
And I'm wondering what you feel about this as a guy that likes the Suns. You live here most of the time. To spend all that money to talk the way they did and to get zero playoff victories out of the whole thing. Where do your emotions take you? Who are you mad at?
Well, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not, and that doesn't mean the Suns aren't disappointing. They had a hugely disappointing season. The whole thing, really. Because they never got going in the way that we expected. And there's enough blame to go around. There really is. I mean, the roster is flawed. And we thought that all year. I mean, I talked to you guys about that early in the year, middle of the season. Mm-hmm. It's a flawed roster. It doesn't have the things. Look, the Suns are nowhere near as good as Minnesota. They're nowhere near. And so I thought going into the series, okay, this can be like a six-game series or, you know, something can happen. Look, you're a turned ankle away in the Western Conference from a lot of things flipping.
Yep.
Against you or for you. But you can't look at the Suns roster and think it's anywhere near as good as Minnesota's roster. We're consumed with celebrity and stardom, particularly when it comes to the NBA. That's the culture of that league. And we get carried away with it, and Vegas pronounces somebody the favorite because there's a trade. And we go nuts. And you look at the roster. Look at the teams. And the Suns aren't as good. Mm-hmm. So just like the Lakers have the worst matchup for them, or had it. It could have beaten a lot of teams, actually, in the West. They couldn't beat Denver. Denver's probably the only team the Lakers just couldn't beat. And, the Suns are certainly – I mean, the Timberwolves are certainly a team that – the Suns, you look at it and just go, okay, the Suns are smallish. They're certainly not big, and Minnesota is. Minnesota's got a defensive player of the year. The Suns, you know, ranking near the bottom defensively, except for a short burst of play at the end when they, won 7 out of 10. You look at, again, I'm one of those people, you don't have a traditional point guard, but you better have somebody who can organize the team and manage the game and that be that person's primary responsibility and identity for years. The Suns don't have that.
Yeah.
They haven't had that all year. Kevin Durant has always played, as great as he is, with somebody who had that role, whether it was Russell Westbrook or Steph Curry, or even for a minute and a half, Kyrie Irving. Devin Booker had, in his most successful time, Chris Paul. Bradley Beal had, in his most successful time, John Wall.
John Wall.
None of those guys did that for a living. You can pay them as much as you want. You can talk about scoring as much as you want. There are other things that a team has to do besides score. And the Suns, the roster never had that. It didn't have the kind of depth. It didn't have the kind of size you need in the Western Conference. Might they still be playing in the Eastern Conference? Maybe. But you look at them against Minnesota, they weren't going to win that series.
Yep. Mike Wilbon of ESPN, our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. You mentioned there, Michael, a lot of things that the Suns were lacking. One other thing that has come up a lot is the subject of player leadership. And your viewpoint on this, I think, is very valuable because you're close to Chris Paul, and the Suns had that box checked in a big way for three seasons with Chris Paul on the roster.
Yeah.
They move on. When you compare the Chris Paul-led Phoenix Suns to what you saw this year, how glaring was it through your lens, you know, how much leadership they were missing?
A 10. It's a 10. That's not what Kevin Durant has been known to do for people who pay attention to Kevin Durant's career. It's a great career. He's an all-time great, particularly, and he's been a great defensive player through most of his career. Not a good one, a great one. But sort of taking the team by the reins and leading, that's not his thing. Nobody, I mean, he can get upset if he wants to about people talking about it. The observation is a valid one. That's not who he's been. And Chris Paul has been that throughout his career. He didn't cash it in ultimately. It got close, you know, in 2021, but that's what Chris Paul does. That's what he did for a Hall of Fame career. Devin Booker has some of those qualities, but that's not what he did when the Suns were at their best. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul did that. And that's not what Devin Booker's done. That's not what Bradley Beal's done. Brad's a tremendous scorer, but he's been that on bad teams. He's never really done that on good teams. But Bradley Beal, from everything I know from the time in Washington, and I watched his whole career, has been a tremendous teammate. He's a good dude.
Yeah,
you want to have Brad Beal. You want to have him. But in terms of a championship level, on court, off day, locker room guy who may have to get under your skin and is willing to do it and is great at it, Suns didn't have that. There's no arguing that, right? People can get mad if they want. Mike Conley is that. Right? Conley's not a great player anymore at the level that he was 10 years ago. Mike Conley's like, 16, 17 season?
Yeah.
But Mike Conley provides that for Minnesota when they need it. So that was missing, right? And I don't know that you can rely on guys. I mean, Devin's the youngest of the three to sort of develop that. Yes, you grow and you can grow into leadership. You can. And Devin's better at it now than he was 5 years ago, 6 years ago. But in terms of that player on the court, organizing the team, just look at their fourth quarters. See, people can say what they want. My whole thing is, I'm sorry, your fourth quarters were what? The whole year.
Yeah. Yep, the whole year.
They did get better late. They got better late. Frank made some personnel changes and some rotation changes, and they did what they could, and they tried to get better at it. See, I'm not mad at anybody because I'm not going to fault those guys. That was evident from the beginning. And because of the way the roster was constructed and no flexibility, you couldn't go out and get somebody and change that roster at the break.
Yep.
So it's a flawed roster. They're not as good as several teams. They're not as good as Denver. They're not as good as Minnesota. They're not as good as Oklahoma City. Let's start there. Didn't those teams just go one loss, those top three teams in the West?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the Suns aren't that, and I don't know how they get there. I know how I think they have to go about trying to get there, but I don't know if they can get there in the offseason.
Yeah, so I want to ask you exactly that. It took about 2 minutes for the season to end when that story on The Athletic from Sham Sharania and I believe Doug Howler locally here just kind of had an anecdote of players rolling their eyes at Frank when he tried to get tough and scream at them after that Clippers game, that 35-4 game, and it kind of gave a real good indication as to the disconnect. What is the move? What can they do now to try to salvage this with as little flexibility as they have?
Well, just starting with the coach is cosmetic, and it's the kind of move that is typical of professional sports, all of them, when the players don't do their jobs to the level that anybody expects. So Frank Vogel is way down on my list. Frank Vogel's a problem? Really? Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to lose his job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he and Frank knows his business, but they can roll their eyes all they want. They failed.
Yes.
You got to start. Bradley Beal has no trade contract. Now maybe he wants to be traded or it's okay and you could work around it. Devin Booker is a legitimate franchise player. We just saw it. We saw it 3 years ago. We know what can happen with Devin Booker as your best player. We've seen it. But Kevin Durant at this stage, what can you get and have 2/3 of those guys still be on your team and function at a high level? What can you get?
Yeah.
Kevin Durant is still great enough to push a team that's close over the top. But is Kevin Durant the guy he was 10 years ago when he was at the end of his run in Oklahoma City and his beginning of his years? And Golden State, no, he's not. He's not. He can score a lot. But people got to look at something other than scoring averages and their analytics. Does he impact the game in that way anymore?
That's it.
And so what's the most you're going to get? And I don't see Kevin Durant just sort of being the Suns guy without Booker and just have a bunch of people fill in around Kevin Durant at this stage, who's 35 years old. I don't see that at all.
Yeah.
So if you're going to start with this and you're going to make big, bold moves, the first big, bold move, it seems to me, the only big, bold move, you're not going to get a haul for Bradley Beal. You're not, even if he agreed to be traded. You don't have free agent money. The way you get better really in the NBA right now is draft picks and draft capital and assets, and the Suns don't have that. So where do you go? What's plan B? I don't see anywhere around plan B being moving Kevin Durant. What else would you do?
Yeah, they're very limited. There's no doubt about it. I wish we had like another hour to talk with you, Mike.
Yeah.
Great stuff today. We really appreciate you coming on the show.